Well, this was a little gift that was given to me the day after Mira went to Baba. And I live in Myrtle Beach. And I happened to be walking along the beach with Lois Brager. You know Lois? She's very close to Kitty. And we were just walking along. We were just talking, you know, life, love, and philosophy, all these things we talk about. And all of a sudden, and just quicker than a second, something happened. I said, Lois, you won't believe what just happened. She said, well, what was it? I said, well, it was so unusual. I saw Baba and Mira together. And it was so sweet. And Baba, they were both so happy. Baba was jumping all around, and he was running all around like a schoolboy with a crush. You know, he was showing Mira things. She had just arrived, and he was like, look at this, and look at this. And Mira was so happy, and she was just beaming out. But she was contained. I mean, she was stationary, but she was just beaming out. And Baba was running around, going, what about this, and what about this? And then he pointed up, and there was the planet Earth. And on all the land, there were these little pinpricks of light. And he said, see those lights? Just like this. He said, those are my lovers. That was it. Well, I know I saw it. I was telling Lois, though, but I couldn't believe, because it just happened just like this, and it took me about 3 or 4 minutes to tell her what had happened. We were walking along the beach in Myrtle Beach the day after. We knew that Mira had dropped her body, and then we were just walking. Yeah, it was very sweet.
That's the first. That's great.
Yeah, it was a real treat.
Because I know Lois Brager, when she was here, and she when she went back, she wrote in a letter that she had been sitting next to Erish in the Mundley Hall, right here. And the curtains were open at the windows. And she saw Baba go by, where you all walk by all the time. And Baba had on a pink coat, and it seemed so natural to see Baba going by. She didn't tell us then, but when she went back, she wrote. And she said, but of course, you all must be seeing him all the time. I said, no!
No, she's very sensitive to those things. And it's wonderful. But she doesn't talk about it.
No.
I know she rented a house one time. It's very different, but she rented a house that her mother owned, and there was a ghost in the house, an old man who used to just come and sit on the couch and just sort of sit around like this. And another Baba lover, Patty Cavender, was living in the house. She was renting it from Lois. And Patty didn't really see this man, but her cats would always flip their wigs because this man would just sit there like this. And actually, I think Patty one day saw him, and she said, Lois, you didn't tell me the house was haunted. And Lois said, you saw the old man. So maybe she, you know, she never really brought it up until there was a reason to bring it up. She just...
But it's amazing. Baba was there with you, and yet he's showing you the planet Earth. That's right? You see that?
I was seeing Baba and Mira together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then...
And he was... Yes, that's right. And he was pointing up to the planet Earth and all these little lights.
That reminds me of something Baba said very casually, as always happened, but unexpectedly. We have been playing a Jim Reeves record of Hold My Hand, Precious Lord. And there's that one line, that fair city so bright, where the lamp is the light. So then, from that, Baba said, that city that's in the song, that city. So nothing can compare to it. The most beautiful, the biggest, the most famous, the brightest city that you can get on earth, compared to that, is the shabbiest village in India. The smallest, primitive, shabby village in India. He made that comparison, as if he were just explaining the song, and that's all.
What was the line, Mani? in the song?
The first city so bright, where the lamp is the light. Hold my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. That precious Lord song was one of the songs of his favorite. Yeah. Talking of Mara, because you brought up Mara, it's lovely to feel that. I remember her visit to Baba's home in Pune. Baba brought her along. It was the first visit to our house, first time I saw her. And she told me many, many, many years later, in fact, rather recently, a number of years ago, and she said, do you know that when we first came to your home, when I came with Baba, Baba bought a toy and gave it to me and said, give this to my little sister as from you. Do you remember what that toy was? I said, no, ma'am. I don't remember the toy, but I remember you. I remember you standing by the well in Baba House in the morning, combing her hair. And I thought that was the loveliest hair I'd ever seen. It was long, but the waves were soft, the color, the tints were so right. It was so beautiful that what she gave me, I had no eyes for, but just for her and her beauty. And then later, when I was with Baba, even going for my holidays to Mehrabad, and later on staying with them, or even when we were in post office, I remember the so-called post office, that place where the women stayed up on in Mehrabad. That hair was then concealed for Baba. They had to wear this white mathuban, which the Zoroastrians wear for the sake of keeping the sari in place. One of the reasons is that, but they always wear it here, except the older ones. The old ones, wear it here. No young Zoroastrian woman would wear her mathuban or that white scarf up to here, not showing a single hair. And that's how Mara would cover her hair. So did the other women with Baba. But for Mara, to me, it was more meaningful because I'd seen how beautiful her hair was and that she was giving that up for Baba. She was hiding it, you know. Another thing I remember was that she had such an understanding for young people, and their needs. For instance, if I was told sometimes, no, don't do this, don't that, she'd say, let her do it, it's all right, I'm here. And then she'd also teach me some spelling, theater cat, or some English tuition, as it were. But then later when we were in Nasik, and I used to go there for the holidays, wherever Baba was, my mother would take me there. I would go. And there was a tree in the grounds of this bungalow where we lived in Nasik with Baba. And this tree had one branch that went like that, so it made it easier to climb. I was always climbing trees. That's the place where I was doing my homework, sitting on a buffalo. Because there again, they would say, when I would get down from the buffalo, it was a home buffalo. When I'd get down from the buffalo, I would walk like a jockey, you know, like that. And I'd smell all buffalo. And they'd say, she smells all buffalo, but don't sit on the buffalo. And then I was, if she likes to, let her sit. It's all right. One of the trees was, as I said, like this. So I went up and made a sort of a tree house by putting a plank in between those branches where you could sit. And then I had this rope and a basket. So I tied it to the tree, and I would tell Naja that there will be a bell. And when the bell rings, Naja, because Mara and I will be up there, but when I ring the bell, and let the basket down, put a chapati in it, will you? And then I'll pull it up, and we can. So we would be sitting up there, Maren, and she would tell me stories. And some of the stories, is, I still remember, you know, in such detail, because the way she would tell it, I suppose, because her presence meant so much to me, to be together. And so then I was all the time waiting for the time for the chapati, ring the bell, let it down. And poor Naja would come running, put one chapati in it, and I'd pull it up. It was so important at first.
How old were you when you met Mira for the first time, Mama?
I must have been very little, because this, as I said, there's this thing of toy. Now, she was 12 and 15. Three? Four? Very young. Because if she was 11 years older than I am. So if she was 15, then four, maybe four. Baba would tell me. Sometimes when I was a little impatient later on in the years, after being in the ashram with Mira and the others. So if sometimes I was impatient, Baba said, don't be impatient. Don't be irritated. You know, Mira and you have a long ago connection, very deep and far away.
I'll tell a funny story. Right after I had read Mara's book, this is after Mara had passed, and there were so many wonderful stories, so many wonderful parts, but when Mara would get to the real intimate parts, she would stop. And of course, you know, we were all dying of curiosity, and we would have loved her to go on and on and on. And even finishing the book, you know, it's so sad to have to close it and know that, you know, it's over. But one night I had a dream that Mara was in L.A. and she was answering all of our questions, Mani. Whatever questions we wanted to ask about the book, where she'd stop telling the story, she'd go on and elaborate and tell us anything we wanted to know. And, oh, we were having a wonderful time. And then she told me to send a letter to Meru saying that she was having so much fun in L.A. that she wouldn't be coming back for a while. And that's very cheeky of me. How could I possibly send a letter to Meru saying that? But yes, that's what she wanted me to do. And then I woke up from the dream. And I was laughing. I just thought it was so funny, you know, that I was supposed to send a letter like that to Meru.